The all-new season of Futurama is streaming on Hulu.
That's great,
but I have to warn you, it's completely brilliant.
The interplanetary hit is back.
The very survival of Earth is at stake.
Is everybody okay? Is anybody hurt?
Nobody's okay. Everybody's hurt.
Watch the all-new season of Futurama.
That's the best damn show I ever saw.
New episodes Mondays, streaming only on Hulu.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I will have on Brad Sturdy. And first, we'll start with Kedrick Prince. We'll talk about the bragging rights game that Illinois won 97-73. In a total reversal of last year's game. The last 3 years have been blowouts. Illinois has won two of the three, and they were particularly dominant tonight. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
This is Mike Kegley, and as promised, here is Kedrick Prince. We are talking about the very relaxing and entertaining and fun game we saw with the bragging rights this year. Illinois winning 97-73, really fueled by a massive first half where the Illini outscored Missouri 49-24. And then the rest of the way, it was kind of a little bit of a coast. You can't blame the Illini for not having that same fire on the defensive end, but a very dominant performance. Ked, what are your initial thoughts?
Happy holidays. That's my first initial thought. I mean, it's been a long time, 4 years, I believe, for Illinois fans. I mean, you know, you hear a lot of them talk about how miserable Christmas is to lose a game like this, but this team is just really dialed in and special. I mean, you know, you get the cliche post-game press and pre-game press conferences, but these kids really are dialed in, and they just look different. I mean, you, from a national standpoint, people are really starting to take notice. And, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't have the stats in front of me, Mike, but did Brad Underwood even call a timeout tonight at all? Yeah, I don't know if he did.
I don't know if he did either. If he did, it was to keep himself awake.
Because, exactly. That was impressive. That was really, really – and just the overall team. And how about, you know, when you, to me, good teams and great teams, you have three guys that are capable of just getting points. Tonight, Marcus Domas didn't shoot the ball well from three, but who cares? I mean, because you know what? He's not going to go 0-7 on any other night. I mean, typically he'll knock down two or three of those. So will Luke Goody. But, you know, you got Quincy Guerriere putting up, 28 points. You got 30 from Terrence Shannon. Coleman Hawkins could have scored more, but he was looking to dish in the second half. They just went through the motions after the 10-minute mark. So this team is special. And what I don't, you got to take game by game, and I know that's coach speak, but what I hope is that this team really advances in March and get out of the first round, because we've all said it on a number of podcasts, Mike, this is a really special team. They just look really, really good. They fit the part.
Yeah, and they fit the part, and it just seems like they keep their calm, they keep their cool, they don't have those fall apart moments that we saw so much from, you know, the last year's team. And they also look like, I got to be honest, I know people, there's going to be some people who poo-poo this, but they actually look like they're just having fun out there, which is so darn critical.
We all talk about that, and there is some truth to that. They look like they get along. I mean, I think Terrence Shannon, and I'm going to give credit to Ty Rogers, him being a sophomore, but that kid's pretty vocal about that locker room and what it should look like and what they do on and off the court. It's great. And I think going into next week, they, you know, with, I believe, Baylor and Creighton losing, they have a legitimate chance of being put in the top 10, you know, this week. So, you know, again, you know, kudos to Coach Underwood and their schedule. And let's take a step back and look at when they went to Tennessee and lost, they had a chance to win that game. They gave Marquette all they wanted and some. And they lost to Marquette with an injured Coleman Hawkins, who wasn't playing well. So this team technically could be undefeated or with just one loss. So I just – it's great. You know, it's Coach Underwood put pieces together. You know, I mentioned Quincy earlier, Mike, and Coach Underwood went after this kid for 2 and 3 years, and he finally got him. And, you know, now fans can see what Coach Underwood was wanting. And, you know, he's putting him in a position to score. That's another thing. You know, all these – even like Marcus Domas, Brad is utilizing his talents. He's utilizing Quincy where he's effective. And Terrence Shannon, all the guys are playing their roles. And the kudos to the coaches for finding what those kids do well.
Yeah, it was really impressive what they've done there. Additionally, I think, you know, you had Shannon, obviously, you know, leading the way with 30, Gary A with 28, 15 for Coleman Hawkins, who, boy, I tell you what, I was just, you know, do I call him catch and shoot or do I call him pick and pop? He had some magnificent three-pointers. And I thought the interesting thing with him was, is, you know, at the end of the half there, when he got the ball with almost no time left in the shot clock, you know, he decides to take a dribble, which was very risky, got the ball to Luke Goody, who got it off just in time for 2 points. But that really was kind of a microcosm of how he's had to play, where he's got to get these things done and make these decisions really, really quickly on some of these things. And that's probably why you see a few of those fadeaway three-pointers when he gets the ball at the end of a possession. But I thought that was a really nice play. And he made a lot of good decisions tonight out there, you know, in three-point land.
He is what Brad Underwood's been talking to us about in the media for 3 or 4 years, a really good stretch four, which is going to make it tough. I really can't – I'm really interested in seeing – I mean, I can't count much, you know, the eggs for the chicken, but I really want to see how Purdue defends him if he's making shots like that, because that means Zach has to come out to guard him, which is one of the reasons why people may not realize is why Terrence Shannon and, you know, Marcus Domask and, you know, Quincy and everybody else can play what Brad Underwood called booty ball, because – Coleman keeps the floor spread. And if you don't guard him, if he's making shots, if he's just a catch and shoot guy, you can see it. What I want people to also know is Coach Underwood talked about what these kids do in practice and, you know, you don't see it in games. Well, tonight you saw it. You know, you saw Coleman Hawkins shoot the ball the way Coach Underwood talked about. You know, tonight wasn't great, but they've been awesome, exceptional at the free throw line 3 out of the last 4 games. You know, I know Terrence Shannon missed 4 or 5. He left probably, you know, 35 points on, you know, an extra 5 points on the board. But, you know, they do these things. And, you know, when the lights come on, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. You know, they're young, they're teenagers, and well, not this team because they're older. But, you know, what I'm saying is you saw tonight what Coleman Hawkins can do and why people like his game. I mean, and because he does a lot of little things, keeps balls alive. He's looking to make the extra pass, and you have to guard him. There was 1 3 he hit, you know, and you looked at the Missouri bench and they just looked deflated because they left him open thinking he was going to make threes tonight.
You know, the bottom line is they played very well. A couple statistics that jumped out at me, you know, as I look through what was going on. But I do think that you look at that rebounding, you know, 51-35 Illinois advantage. I think Brad Sturdy wrote about that in his preview, that that would be a key, and I think that was a big deal. The other thing I think was interesting is Illinois only had 10 turnovers, but they did have six of them in really short succession there at the start of the second half, which maybe gave a little bit of hope to the Missouri fans before the door got slammed shut right on their face. But there was a little bit where the pressure gave Illinois some problems.
You know what, Mike, it did. And that was, I guess, if I had to nitpick one thing, I would say that. But I want to preface this part. I think Illinois got complacent. I don't think it was anything. I don't want to say it was anything that Missouri did, but the one that really kind of made me scratch my head was when Ty Rogers was dribbling the ball up the court. He was kind of just lazy with, you know, he wasn't a triple threat position. He wasn't strong with the basketball. There was one play where Marcus Domas got picked. They were running and jumping. And to be honest with you, Coleman Hawkins should have said something. That's the part of the game where people, when your coaches talk, you know, if Coleman see, or any player, not Coleman, just Coleman, if they're going to run and jump and you're the open guy, you got to call that out before it happens. But I think they got careless a little bit, and I think that was because of the lead. I didn't like seeing that, but, I guess when you're about 20 points, I can see them taking some chances. But for the most part, I think Ty does a good job, and people don't give him enough credit for what he's done. This guy's 6'6", I know, legitimate 6'6", playing point guard, and he handles it well. But the offensive rebounding, you know, that he gives them, he's strong. I mean, and he's so fast. Even though guys are smaller, he's fast enough and quick enough to blow by them.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that, like I said, and I know I was probably the most frustrated I was during the game was just when Damas got the ball picked from him. And it was interesting because there were two mistakes made on that play. Damas was close enough to the half court line that Coleman couldn't be behind him for a release pass, because it would be over and back. At the same time, Coleman didn't warn Damask when his back was turned, and Coleman's defender came up against him, you know, and there were a couple times Damask got steals against him when I thought there could be a little bit better communication, and he needs to be a little more aware when people are coming his direction. Overall, though, I thought it was really good, you know, overall for the Illini. You know, you go through just about every metric. They played extremely well. This was a good game, and I thought Missouri, especially with East and to a lesser extent Carter, they had some incredible shots that I'm not certain they could duplicate very often on the inside, but Missouri played hard. But you can't play a five out offense when you have nobody who can shoot a three.
No, and I think they typically, you know, can. And I think, I don't want to say it was all Illinois, because it wasn't. I'm not going to sit here and lie to our listeners. I watched Missouri play a couple of times, and I watched them play Kansas. Illinois beat a good team tonight, but Missouri just didn't make shots. They had a lot of open looks that didn't fall. And I'm not saying Illinois wouldn't have won, because they would have won. I think because they were just clicking, but I don't think it would have been at the margin that it was. This Missouri team is capable of getting to the tournament. Like I said to you, they gave Kansas all the, you know, that they wanted. But at the end of the day, I think at one point, Mike, they were 1-for-17 from three. And
Illinois fans know what that's like to go through that.
See, exactly. And that's why, because you've been on the other side of it, you know, and I know most people who are Illinois fans want to put up 30, you know, to just really, because of last year's embarrassment. And though I will say this before we close here, I really, they talked tonight about the rivalry and how important it is, and some, you know, and why a lot of people nationally don't see it for what it was. It's because they took it off the networks. You know, it used to be a mainstay, Mike, on ESPN. You know, then it went to Big Ten Network, and I think one year it was on the SEC network. If you put this game on FS1 like it was tonight or on the big stage, you're going to continue to see how big this rivalry is.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think signing it. I think they've signed now, what, through 2029 to play in St. Louis, which is a fantastic move. I like that much better than signing to play the Missouri football team anywhere.
Yeah, right now, especially. I agree.
Question for you as the director of recruiting. Do you expect, you know, the way Illinois is playing now, they got Farley Dickinson, obviously, next Friday, 8 o'clock. But after that game, January 2nd on that Tuesday, they're up against Northwestern in Champaign. Is there any shot of getting any players, you know, visitors coming to see them? I know Tuesday night's a really tough night, but boy, they're playing so darn well. It'd be cool to see some potential recruits come down to see what Illinois has cooking.
Well, Michael, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, talking to the coaches, they really want some of these kids to be on campus to see it live. But you just said it. The issue is, because Illinois is not just recruiting the state. Years ago, you saw more recruits on campus because they really, really focused on the in-state kids. Well, now they're recruiting, you know, coast to coast. And so it's tough to get a kid from, like, Coach Chester Frazier just got back. He spent a couple of days out in California. Well, it's tough to get a kid, in Las Vegas, to get a kid to come visit on a school night unofficially and then get back. So that part is going to be tough. But I think where you're going to see the recruits come in, if they're out of state or somewhere within 4 or 5 hour driving distance, most of those would be on the weekends. And if you guys want to know which recruits are coming and when they're coming, you make sure you subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. You know, we talk about that. We put on our message board. We write articles about them. So we'll know in advance when some of these recruits are going to be on campus. But I want to preface it to say that it's tough. Sometimes you can get them out, but it's really tough to get those kids in on school nights to do that.
Yeah. No, that is a challenge, and no doubt you're correct on that. Any other final thoughts for anybody as we wrap up your part of the show here, Ked?
I just want people to not nitpick and enjoy it no matter what. I mean, I was going to find myself saying, on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to give them a 9 because of the turnovers. No, they had 10 turnovers. You know, they shot 70% from the free throw line. We talked about good teams shoot 70%. This was a great win. Enjoy it. You know, now it's Big Ten play, and it's going to be tougher because the coaching is going to be a lot different. They're going to take things away from you. If they stay healthy, I would argue anybody, this is the best team, second best team, 1-1A in the Big Ten. And they are definitely proving that they're one of the top 10 teams in the country right now.
Excellent. Thanks so much for taking time out of your evening, Ked, to talk to us about this Illini victory. It was definitely one that makes the ham and the turkey on Christmas Day taste just a little bit less dry. Got a little bit more juicy, a little more flavor. And as Mary Henson used to say, it was a very, very tough time to have a fun Christmas after losing the Bragging Rights game. And now Brad Underwood has turned the tables on Missouri, and now they don't have to worry about going through a very sad Christmas. So thank you very much, Ked, and have yourself a Merry Christmas.
You too. Happy holidays, everyone.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And as promised, Brad Sturdy is here. Brad, this was quite a game for the Illini. You were there, right there on the floor. Give us your description of what was going through your mind and what your takeaways are.
I mean, Illinois just dominated everything. I mean, from the get-go. I mean, they were offensively, they scored, you know, like 1.4 points per possession. They had multiple guys score. They defensively, they did a great job taking Missouri out of transition. And then really forced them into difficult shots, even when they made them in the second half. Most of them, you know, they let up a little bit defensively, but this was just a start to finish domination. Illinois just looked like a legit top 10 team. I mean, this was kind of you don't see this very often in a Bragg and Wright team. Let's be honest. I mean, we've seen it 3 years in a row now, right. You know, this is not something we've seen over the course of this game. But this was just, Illinois was just really, really good tonight. They made shots. And they had such an energy, the ball was moving. You know, I mean, there was no hesitation. Guys making passes, guys making plays. And, you know, and they were able to put Missouri in deficit situations over and over.
Yeah, it was amazing to me. You know, there was so many good things when you look at Shannon, Damask, Arier, Rogers, Coleman. I mean, the starters played wonderful basketball. And, you know, even you looked at the contributions of the guys who came into the game, you know, and even Justin Harmon, you know, had some really nice help defense, you know, even if he didn't get any points on the board. You know, anything jump out at you besides the fact that Terrence Shannon is following Johnny Newton's footsteps and making money by remaining an Illini?
Well, I mean, obviously, Terrence Shannon, I mean, it's conceivable right now. You look at college basketball, and you could say the two best players in college basketball are in the Big Ten, possibly, when you think of Zach Edey and Terrence Shannon. And I know there are other guys up there, but definitely two of the top ten. But, I mean, you could say that they're the best two. Now, I would say this. The other thing that impressed me, though, they did this with Marcus Damask going over 7 from 3. Now, he had a nice game. He had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists.
Yep.
So a lot of people would say, well, you know, Guerrier's not going to shoot 5 for 8. No, you're probably right. But if he makes 3 for 8 and Damask makes 2 for 7, you're in the exact same position, right? So this is a legit thing. They are, you know, this is a team that's really good, becoming really good offensively. And I think the other part is they hang their hat on defense. But I think sometimes they let up in the second half a little bit because, you know, they've had big leads, you know. But when they've needed to get stops in most of the games, they've been able to do that. So I'm really impressed. I mean, this is one of those things. I'm not a superlative guy, but I talked to Brad Underwood a little bit, you know, after the game. And I talked to, you know, both Jeff Alexander and Chester Frazier before the game. And these guys are really confident in this group. They're really happy with where they're at with this team. And you don't see that or hear that very often from coaches. They're always like pushing the buttons to try and make them better. And these guys feel good. They said they're not where they need to be. Underwood said that. But he said, we're not where we need to be, but we're getting there. And that's scary if they get better.
Yeah, and I will say that the thing that gets me about it is their help defense is so good. And you know, especially – I don't know how Missouri on a night like tonight, they just can't play a 5-out offense. They can't get in, you know, they only had one or two guys who could, you know, drive the ball, and nobody could shoot from outside for most of the game. But, you know, there were so many times when you see the nuance of Coleman Hawkins just sliding over a little bit so that somebody had help behind him, which just, you know, sank the ship. And it's hard for – I don't even know how you track that stat, but it's hard for people to see and understand just how tough that makes this Illinois team from a defensive standpoint. The other thing I was going to bring up to you is Coleman Hawkins had a really nice game tonight. And I thought that at the end of the first half when he got the ball with, I don't know, 3 seconds or whatever it was, 3 or 4 seconds, and he took the dribble. That was a high-risk maneuver, but he didn't settle for the fadeaway three at the end of the shot clock when he gets, you know, handed the ball like, hey, do something with it. And he made that pass to Luke Goody. I thought that was just a phenomenal read of what was going on, and I thought that was a very mature play. Did that resonate any with you, or am I just making a moment up that didn't happen?
No, I think it was good. I think the play for me was, you know, I think there was a play where Coleman took like one bad shot all night.
Right.
That's the thing. He had that one step back early in shot clock. Under was like, what are you doing? You know, and he's like, I got, but there were a couple times. But overall, the thing I liked about Coleman tonight was when the ball hit his hands, most of the time something happened. Like it was a penetration. It was a driving kick. It was a quick pass. It was a shot. It was just, he just played basketball and he looked so good, and he's cutting, moving, being able to slip those screens, and it really puts him in a deficit again. In the middle of the zone, he's fantastic. I thought that was really good. I tell you what, the play that for me, the game, there was a possession where Bowen all the way around perimeter, and I think Guerrier ended up with the ball, and he was going to go up and dunk it, and he lost the ball, and then he ended up putting it back in at the shot clock. And I thought that was fantastic because the ball just – I mean, they made that extra pass after extra pass after extra pass. And, of course, from an athletic standpoint, the play Shannon made when he ran the guy down, tipped it away, stole the ball, then threw it ahead, and then ran down the floor and then got the finish.
Yes.
That was like the chase down he did the other day when he got the rebound and then, kicked it ahead. They kicked ahead for a three. It was just – it's just amazing what he does. He is a freak athlete, fantastic player. And Missouri – I'm not saying Missouri is like some elite team, but they're not as bad as Illinois made them look tonight.
Yeah, and so people don't – look, tonight was the exact opposite of what we worry about when the Illinois football team has to face the Missouri football team.
Yes, exactly.
Just the exact opposite. So I know that you are running from point A to point B. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is like, this team is connected. They're fun to watch. I think the biggest thing is, they're going to be games where, and a lot of people worry about, playing time for you guys. There's going to be games when they're going to have to play Dane Danger or Monty Hansberry or Draven Gibbs Lahorn. I think next game they'll get some minutes, against Fairleigh Dickinson, but they're going to get in the Big Ten. Somebody's going to get in foul trouble. They're going to have to play him. And, so don't panic like about a guy not playing tonight. They're going to play the guys to win the game. And the goal is not to make everybody happy. This isn't junior high basketball. So win the game by as many points as you can. So that's my takeaway. I know people were complaining about that, but the one thing is this team's really good. They've got both sides now. I really think they're figuring it out offensively a little bit with the way they're playing. Cause they, like Brad Underwood told me post game in the press conference, I asked this question. He said they ran two sets in 70 possession game. I mean, you think about that now. The great part about that is there's twofold. They ran two sets. So now when you get into Big Ten play, you haven't run any sets. So there's no scouting on all your plays. So when you get in those first couple of Big Ten games, if you need to run plays, you can, but you don't have to, and you can just play. And it makes it so hard to scout that team. And I think that's the problem you run into, because you can scout tendencies for players, but it's very difficult to scout actions and with Illinois. And I think that's going to benefit them in the Big Ten. Brad Underwood seems historically have, gotten better as the season has gone on in the Big Ten. They've been better in the Big Ten than they have in the non-conference normally. If they're better than the Big Ten than they have been in the non-conference, you're looking at like 16-4 or something in the Big Ten, which isn't too bad. So, this is a team that has a chance to be a top, 2-3 seed in the NCAA tournament. Right now they're eighth on Pomeroy, and it's time to like start thinking this team's pretty good.
And they certainly won over the Dennis Gates, the coach of Missouri, who started off by saying, I think Illinois is a Final Four team, and then came back with, I believe they'll win the Big Ten. So there was a conversion that, was made by the play on the floor tonight.
And Dennis Gates is a smart guy, so he knows what he's talking about. If you know anything about his history, but yeah, yes. I agree. He's right. I think this team has that kind of potential. They're a Final Four potential team and they just fit together. And, they only had had some turnovers tonight in the second half mostly, but still 10 turnovers in a 70 possession game against a team that turns it over on 21% of possessions, that's pretty good.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your evening here as you're going running around doing post-game activities. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back in a minute.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eye on the Illini. Merry Christmas to everybody. We hope you and your family have a fantastic holiday season. We look forward to talking to everybody next week when we do the same thing after Fairleigh Dickinson. But certainly tonight was a fantastic evening for Illini fans. That ham should be a little bit juicier. The turkey shouldn't feel so dry. And maybe for once you'll actually enjoy your grandmother's stuffing. But boy, it was fun to see the Illini come out with a fire and put this game away early. Please make sure that you look at subscribing to theIlliniGuys.com. That's where you'll get all of our stuff. But you'll also get to go back in the message boards. And that's when there's rumors, innuendos, things that people don't want to go on the record that we can share. And that's where you learn about things that are going to happen before they happen. So come to IlliniGuys.com. We'd love to have you as a member of our board. Our subscriber base is growing. And, of course, tune us in on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular every weekend. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, find the city closest to you, what day and time it's on. It's either Friday or Saturday. And tune in and listen to us. We have a new station starting in the start of 2024. We'll be on in Galesburg, so that's exciting. And we are very much looking forward to having another partner tune us in. And, of course, go Illini.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were always in control of the when and where in our lives?
Yes, I'll get you those figures today.
Mom, check it out. I learned a new song.
When and where you choose to do something can make all the difference. At University of Phoenix, we make it easy to balance work, family, and school. Plus, with online classes 24/7, you get the freedom to learn when and where you want. Start your degree in tech, healthcare, or business today at phoenix.edu.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.